Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Bishop Thomas Henry, and today you are listening to the Apostolic Voice, where we are speaking to issues that we face in our society today, speaking with an apostolic and prophetic voice to this generation, declaring the unchanging truths of the Word of God. As I said again, this is the Apostolic Voice. Today, my brothers and sisters, I think we have a great topic today to talk about. Our subject today, can apostles and bishops coexist in the same church? Can apostles and bishops coexist in the same church? Do we really need apostles today? What do apostles do anyways? Does the Bible show apostles and bishops coexisting? Can bishops be apostles? Can apostles be bishops? The first proto-archbishop metropolitans in Scripture, who were they? And we got a whole host of other things to talk about. I promise you this will be a great discussion. I'm glad you're here with us. Get your Bibles out. Ears ready. For the Bible says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. And literally that word means a listening ear. If you have a listening ear, then you need to hear what the Spirit says unto the church. That scripture presupposes that there are some who don't have an ear to hear. And so those people we're not dealing with today. We're not talking to you today. Those of you who don't want to hear the truth, God bless you. It's been good. Have a nice day. But we're after those who have an ear to hear the very word of God and to comprehend what the word of God says and to apply it to their lives. Amen. Hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus. As we deal with today, can apostles and bishops coexist? The problem is, and I posed this question on Facebook several times, if prophets prophesy and evangelists evangelize, and teachers teach, and pastors pastor, then what really does an apostle do? That's the question. That is really the real question. What is, because when we find out what an apostle does, then we can understand everything else that goes along with being an apostle. We can understand everything else, every ministry, everything that God has placed in the body of Christ. We can understand that what apostles do are predicated on what their name means, because the meaning of their names is in their name. The word apostle, apostolos, it literally means one who is sent. It is someone who is an ambassador, someone who is an emissary. And you know what the weird thing is? Almost every denomination in this world has missionaries. And the Greek word apostolos in Latin is missio, is where we get the word missionary from, which is unique because people want to say we don't have apostles today, but yet you got missionaries. You have missionaries. And so there are still brothers and sisters, apostles in the world today. The big issue is, do apostles supersede bishops? Do they outrank bishops? This is the real issue, because what happened is we are so stuck on position. We are so stuck on not losing our power, our place, our status, till we try to see who outrank who and everything else. So can I, in just a few moments, show you scripturally and historically that apostles still exist and that apostles and bishops can co-labor together in the same church. The first thing I want to do is this. If you would notice, especially since the Reformation, that even churches who claim to be merely congregational, after a certain period, gravitated together and formed associations where one was moderator or president or presiding elder, superintendent, or bishop. Because it's something in us, innately in us, that wants to be led by one. Okay, y'all didn't catch that. I said it again. It's something in us. It's something that is ingrained in us and as humans and as the church to be led by one. In the Old Testament, Moses led, he was one that led. Joshua was one that led. But the prophet Samuel got upset when Israel asked God for a king. They wanted to be led by a king. And Samuel was thinking that I'm the leader of Israel, what's wrong? But what Samuel didn't realize, it wasn't that they were rejecting him, they were rejecting God, because God was their king. Samuel was just the prime minister. And so here today, there's always this innate desire. When we break off from each other, when we have schisms and divisions, that sooner or later we gravitate to one person, one charismatic being, one individual, and we look to them as being a leader among us. And this is always true. In the early church, this happened. The churches were a loose federation of churches. And sooner or later, as the apostles, those who had the title apostle, began to die off, because there was more than the 12, and there was more than Paul and Barnabas, it was over 100 different apostles mentioned in Scripture. And so when all of these apostles began to die off, and now, my brothers and sisters, there's a vacuum. Didn't mean that the apostles died off, the apostleship died off, just those that actually had a title. And so what happened is we now see the title, the authority of the apostle being migrating to another office. We see those bishops first meeting in synods, and sooner or later these synods give way, they keep meeting, but one person in the metropolis began to yield apostolic authority. You hear what I just said? The bishop in the metropolis began to wield an apostolic authority over the other bishops, and the other bishop becomes suffragan to him. So now we see a pseudo-apostle forming in the church. But then, as is always the case, somebody's got to outrank that person. So we have five extra provincial sees who begin to see themselves as super apostles, so to speak, and they begin to call themselves patriarchs. The unique thing is that even though people claim that there's no apostles, you got Catholic folks claiming that, but yet the church teaches that all the bishops are apostles. They are apostles in the local arena, not in the general arena. But then you got the Pope. The Pope and the cardinals function as apostles towards the general church, because even though they may each head a diocese, their authority is generalized for the whole church, while bishops are confined to the diocese, and a cardinal as a bishop is confined to a diocese, but as a cardinal, his power, his authority spans the whole globe as it relates to the Catholic Church, just like the authority of an apostle. Are you following me? And so there's always been apostles in the church. Always, always been apostles in the church. The unique thing is that there's no scripture in the Bible. I challenge you, because there is no scripture in the Bible that says that the apostleship is dead, that there are no more apostles. Matter of fact, if you read the book of Revelations, when it talks about you tested those who are apostles and found that they were not, literally, if there was only the 12 and Paul, do you realize there was no need for a test? Okay, let me say it again. If there was only the 12 and Paul, do you realize there is no need for a test for apostles? Now, you know the unique thing about many of our Pentecostal brothers and sisters is that they're presiding, their presidium for their particular fellowships and denominations are called apostles. Either they're called apostles in an honorary sense, or they're called apostles just because they're part of the presidium. Even my former denomination, Church of God in Christ, their presidium, the Council of 12, is considered to be, even though according to the Black Handbook, all the bishops are apostles, but specifically the Council of 12 are considered to be the apostles of the church, the presidium of the Church of God in Christ. And the headman of that council is called the chief apostle, and that would be C. Blake. And so just like Mason was the chief apostle of the Church of God in Christ. So the thing is, my brothers and sisters, that apostles can coexist in the same church with bishops. We find that in Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, because you have to understand that in the book of Acts, in the early church, there are two types of elders in the church, in the local assembly. Let me say it again. Let me clarify that. In the local assembly, there are two types of elders. There's your teaching elder, and there is your ruling elder. Now, when the council came together, it says the apostles, the elders, and the brethren. So that means that you have the apostles, you have the elders who are teaching, these are what we call the bishops. And then the ruling elders, these are what we call presbyters. And then we have the brethren who consist of the deacons and lay people. And all this, so the apostles came together in council, elders, and the brethren to decide some issues that was facing the church in Acts chapter 15. Do you see there in Acts 15 that apostles and the bishops co-labor together? Now, if they can do it in the early church, what's the issue now? I tell you what the issue now. The issue now is that we have men filled with pride. They are filled with pride. They miss, and not only are they filled with pride, but they misunderstand what the Bible actually says about the bishop. Are you following me? They misunderstand what the Bible actually says. The Bible, my brothers and sisters, says that bishops and apostles work together. The apostles established the churches. They put bishops over the local congregation. Those bishops, in turn, appointed elders to assist them in governing those congregations. The bishops was the pastors, the local pastors of that church, the teaching elders. Paul says in 1 Timothy 5 and 15, the elder that rule well, let him be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word, that's preaching, and doctrine, that's teaching. So that tells me right there, not every elder in the local assembly was a bishop, but every bishop was an elder. Are you following me here? And so if that being the case, that means every local church had more than one bishop. They had the bishop who was the president of the local assembly, the senior pastor, what we call it today, and then he has your other assistant pastors, those other bishops that assisted him, and the elders assisted them in governing the congregation. And then you have the deacons who helped in pastoral care, congregational care. So you see, in the early church, apostles, and you have bishops. You have apostles, and you have bishops. And then, I mentioned something inside the notes for this, the first proto-archbishop metropolitans in Scripture. Who were they? That would be Timothy and Titus are examples of that, because we see specifically, there may be some before them, but specifically in Scripture, we see Paul telling Timothy and Titus to make other bishops. This is what the metropolitan does. But you have to understand that Titus and Timothy in Thessalonians are called by Paul apostles. Are you hearing me today? In the book of Thessalonians, Paul calls Timothy and Titus apostles. Now, most people can't handle this because when they start seeing the truth in the Bible, they get mad, they want to turn out, they want to get upset, start fussing and fighting, and try to deny what the Bible says. But one thing I know, that you can't deny what is plainly said in Scripture. You can exegete the text and try to twist what it's saying so it doesn't say what it actually does says verbatim so that you can support your madness. You can support the junk that you're doing. But here in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, chapter 3, and look what this says. Look what this says here. Good God from Zion. It says, wherefore we could no longer forbear. We thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel. Establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Interesting. He calls Timothy a fellow laborer, one, a co-laborer with him in his apostleship. Are you following me? Did you see that, my brothers and sisters? He calls Timothy a co-laborer. Now look at this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus, that's Silas, and Timothy is unto the church at Thessalonica, of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your works of faith, labor love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance. Lord, have mercy. And you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Watch this. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you have been examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, the interesting thing I want to make mention here is that Paul speaks of all of these brothers. Paul always starts off his letter, and normally he starts off with Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He really doesn't say that here. But what he does say, when he calls out each of these names, literally he's giving his apostolic greeting. And even though he does not use the word apostle, but later on he calls Timothy a fellow laborer, literally he's saying that we are all apostles. He's writing this not only his own name, but the name of these co-laboring apostles with him. So we see that Paul, apostle, Timothy, apostle, Silas is an apostle, Titus is an apostle. And in the book of Titus, you see that Paul said, for this cause I place you in Crete, that you may appoint bishops in all the cities. So this is what a metropolitan does. A metropolitan archbishop does what? Appoint bishops in all the city. Or if he does not choose the bishop personally himself, he approves of their appointment. And so listen, as a apostolic bishop, I know y'all, some of y'all don't like that phraseology, but as an apostolic bishop, Titus and Timothy are appointing other bishops because they are apostles, just like Paul, and they are bishops assigned to a certain area. So technically speaking, their areas become what we call metropolitan sees. Metropolitan sees. Metropolitan sees, the sees originally were the major cities, and the other cities were not major cities. Okay. What else we want to hit today? I hit Acts chapter 15. We answer the questions. Can apostles and bishops coexist in the church today? That is a big yes. Do we really need apostles today? Yes. Why? Because Ephesians chapter 4. Read it for yourself. It says these words. Because if you cannot answer all of these things that Ephesians chapter 4 says, then guess what? We still need apostles today, despite what some of our brothers tried to teach. It says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some bishops. And he said he did this for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive us, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Did you know? I'm not going to finish reading the rest. Well, I could read verse 16, because that ends that thought. From whom the whole body fitfully joined together and compact, by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, that maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Can you show me anywhere in those verses, from verse 4 to verse 16, where it says that there would never be any more apostles? Can you show me that? No, you cannot show me that. You cannot show me anywhere that we don't need apostles anymore. You cannot show me anywhere in that text where it says we don't need prophets anymore. You cannot show me that in the text, because guess what? It is not there. Wayne Grodine is wrong when he says that Barnabas has the spirit of the apostle, because that's not what the gift, of the apostle, because that's not what Acts chapter 13 and chapter 14 says. Barnabas is an apostle. He is an apostle just as much an apostle as Paul is. Can I read the text? Can I help you and help enlighten you and give you the text and not give you bias, but give you objective truth? Because this is the apostolic voice. Acts chapter 13, I'm reading from the King James again. Now, therefore, Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Now, many people think, they're looking at the English, and they think it's saying prophets and teachers, like two separate ministries. But that's not what it's saying. Because if you read the Greek said prophetes kai didaskalos. I say again, the Greek says prophetes kai didaskalos. I'm saying it the third time, and I'm going to tell you what it means. Prophetes kai didaskalos. So literally, it says, this is literally saying what we would do when we hyphenate a word. So literally, the word prophet and teacher can be hyphenated, because the word kai there says that they are the same person, the same office. And mean connected. This is a connecting and. So literally, there were certain prophet teachers. You see that? Did you hear that? That's what the word kai is saying in that text. There are certain prophet teachers in Antioch. Now, and it says Barnabas and. The word and there is kai again. Now, this kai is the same as the other kai, telling you that all of these men that I mentioned are the pastor teacher. This and means that they're connecting all of these guys together, because all these guys are the same thing. None of these ands are the word they, D-E. All of these ands are the word kai, which means these five men that are mentioned in here are prophetes kai didaskalos. Barnabas, Simon the Black. I'm not going to pronounce his name, because most of us said Niger, but that's not how you pronounce that name. The name sounds like the word that we say, that you hear people say, that is offensive, the N-word. That's the correct way to pronounce it in the Greek. But this Simon the Black, Simeon the Black, Lucius the of Cyrene, Manaen, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So now we see there are five prophet teachers. There are five prophet teachers. This right here blows out what the ancient church says about Paul. They said Paul was made an apostle on the road to Damascus, but not according to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, Paul is called a prophet teacher. He's called a prophetis kai didaskalos. He's called a prophet teacher. And then the Bible says this in verse 2. It says, and they was ministering. Liturgeion is the word for minister there. Literally, they was worshiping the Lord. They was in the middle of the liturgy. We don't hardly say the word liturgy in the Black church. We use the word worship service. But it's the same thing. As they was ministering, as they ministered unto the Lord, as they liturgeion to the Lord, as they worshiped the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas, Kai, Saul, are you hearing me? Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Notice the Holy Ghost says, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul for the work that I have called. Now, see, this is where Grodin messed up at, because Grodin tried to say that Paul is the apostle. Why? Wow, excuse me. Barnabas has the spirit, the gift of the apostle, but that's not the text. Lord, have mercy. I love Scripture, because Scripture is so important. The word, look in Barnabas, Kai Solos. Listen again. The text says, Barnabas, Kai Solo, es argon hos proskalo. I guess I just messed up the last word. But literally, the word is call. I have called. So literally, he says, separate unto me these two men, because he said Kai there, and because they have the same office, not a different office, the same office. It's argon, the work that I have called them to. Now, what work did God call them to by way of the Holy Ghost? I'm glad you asked, because it's plainly said in Scripture. Go with me to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 14, which when the apostles, Lord, have mercy, Jesus, Lord have mercy, I can just say amen, close my Bible, and go home right about there, because the Scripture is all right by itself. Paul, the text says, which when the apostles, apostles, Lord have mercy, apostles, I want you to get that in your spirit. Get that really in your spirit, because the text says specifically, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, and in the list to you, tells you who are they. And again, the Greek is so telling here, because the Greek said Barnabas, Kai, Paulos. Barnabas, Kai, Paulos. Paulos is same as Saul in Acts chapter 13. So Barnabas and Paul are both called apostles. The text does not say that Barnabas has the gift of the apostle, while Paul had the office of the apostle. No, that's not what the text says. That's somebody exegeting the text and making the text say something that it does not say. I'll read it again. Which when the apostles, Barnabas, Kai, Paulos, heard of they who? The apostles. Not one who had the gift of the apostle and the other one who was the office of the apostle, but it literally says, when they heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people and cried out. They cried out. Who is the day? The day is Paul and Barnabas. And who are they? They are apostles. Lord, have mercy. Look at somebody today. Or either go get a mirror, get standing for a mirror and look at yourself and say, bring back the apostles. Bring back the apostles. It's unique, because people say there's no apostles, but yet the Pope sits on a throne in the city of Rome. And that throne is called the apostolic chair, because the word see, S-E-E, means chair. It means the seat of the apostle. The cardinals function as apostles because their sphere of authority is not just limited to their, as a bishop is limited to their diocese, but as a cardinal, it spans the globe. Lord, have mercy, because they are hinged to the seat of an apostle. Are y'all hearing me today? There are still apostles in the church. I don't care what anybody tell you. I don't care what any of these crazy teachers tell you. And like I said, before I take it back, I will add more to it. Before I take it back, I will add more to it. Why? Because according to Scripture, there are still apostles today. You're listening to one right now. I am Bishop Thomas Henry. I'm also in the Lord's church. And for the past 30 minutes, you have been listening to the Apostolic Voice. Good God from Zion. I feel my Cheerios today. Where we speak prophetically and apostolically as a voice to this generation, to the issues we face in society, declaring the unchanging truths of the Word of God. Bless you. You have a great day.